Gary West with us on Sports Byline. Again, the name of the book is West by West, My Charmed, Tormented Life. You won an NBA championship with the Los Angeles Lakers. The rivalry during that period of time, East-West, was it the rivalry with the Philadelphia 76ers? Was it more with the Boston Celtics? Who was it with, Jerry, at that time?
Well, certainly it was with the Celtics, even though the 76ers were very good. The Celtics were, frankly, how you judged yourself. You know, they won so many championships, and frankly, we got to play them in a lot of them, unfortunately, because we didn't win a one. And those were probably some of the lowest days of my life. And in 1969, we had a tremendous record and felt that we had the best team in the league, played like we did for a long time. But in the playoff, it didn't work out that way. And one of the most embarrassing times of my life, we were getting ready to go out and play in the seventh and final game. And I had hurt my hamstring in that series, and which limited me in some respects, even though I think I averaged over 40 points a game in the playoff, but particularly defensively. And we had had high hopes that we were going to win. I walk into the arena and look around in there, and they had planned a big victory celebration. And I said to myself, oh, my gosh. I know if I would have been the Celtics and they were very prideful, that I would have probably not reacted to that very well. And we had not only did we lose a game, but there was a real ugly incident there with our coach and Bill Van Berkhoff and Will Chamberlain, who was our center and obviously one of the greatest players ever played. But you know, he got hurt in a game and been often asked, you know, why didn't he put him back in the game? Well, frankly, I never knew until after the game that he couldn't go, that he could have gone back in the game. You know, you look up and with a player like him sitting over there, and we had a huge comeback in this game to get back in the game, and him not playing and going in and after the game and trying to answer questions related why he couldn't go in there when I didn't even know anything about it. It was probably one of the most awkward things that I've ever had to deal with, and even to this day, I'm not sure why I got in the game. Didn't get back in the game, rather.
Let me ask you about your observations of two of the best big men ever to play the game. You already alluded to Will Chamberlain, but Bill Russell I got to know real well and was in the studio here with me, and we were talking about his relationship with Will because it was always shown to be one that was antagonistic, but it was anything but that. Bill talked about his love for Will Chamberlain. You played against and with both of these guys. Tell me a little bit about your observations of them.
Well, you know, they're two completely different people, and you know, Bill seemed to be the more confident of the two, in the sense that he knew he was, and Will, I felt, was kind of like me, frankly, kind of sad. Sometimes he looked like me, the loneliest person in the world. But you know, I got to know him pretty well, and particularly after Elgin Baylor had retired his last year in Los Angeles. And I spent a lot of time with him after games in his room, and you know, we'd have dinner before games and stuff like that before we played. And you know, I found out that one of the things I found out, he really didn't feel he got his just due as a player, and he was one of the most dominant players I think you'd ever want to see in your life, and also one of the most giving. He didn't want anyone to know that about him, as most athletes kind of hide those things. I probably had a lot greater appreciation for him because he helped me prolong my career when my career was starting to go downhill after I'd had a knee injury. And just being around him was, you know, if he was happy, everyone was happy. If he was miserable, everyone was miserable. But as I say, someone I really did like a lot, and gained newfound respect for him because, you know, he felt like that people didn't really respect him that much because of his size. And I would beg to differ that he was well-respected.
After a fine 14-year career of playing basketball, you eventually move into the front office with the Lakers. And I often think about the fact that there are players who are Hall of Fame players in many sports, and I certainly think about Bill Russell trying to be a coach in the NBA. It really never worked out for him. I think about Frank Robinson in baseball. And when they've played the game at such a high level, they have a tough time than being either in the front office or being a coach. How comfortable were you about moving off the court as a player and moving into the front office?
Well, you know, obviously I'd never had any training like that, and if it weren't for Jerry Buss, the owner of the Lakers, I would have never had that opportunity. And the other thing that occurred then was Bill Sharman, who was a coach I most enjoyed playing for by far, and Bill had a condition where he couldn't talk, and it was really, really sad. And I remember the day that Jerry said to me, he said, you know, I would like for you to be the general manager. I worked there as a kind of an advisor for them. And if it hadn't been for his belief in me, there was no way that I could have ever, that would have ever happened. And in the process of you know, working with the Lakers so many years and being around him, he had great confidence in what he wanted to see on the basketball court. And we were very fortunate to have a lot of players that were significant to the Laker franchise. We had, you know, at times we had our own all-star team out there. I don't think that could happen today, but I think working with him and trying to the things that I felt as a player to try to do everything you can for a player when they're there with you, and probably on the other side was, you know, when you're telling a player that he's not quite good enough to be here anymore, or a great player when he retires, and or trading someone. And I'm sure I've made some enemies in my life by trading a few players, but, you know, sometimes you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And it wasn't the great of times at all when you had to trade someone, or when someone got too old to play, or telling some young kid who had the same desires that I had to be a player and not be able to fulfill his dreams.
When you think about being the executive that helped lead the Lakers to 6 NBA championships, what was it? What was the glue that kept those teams together? Obviously, it starts with talent, and the Lakers had that talent, but there's also a balance between being able to manage the egos and the personalities of all those players. Tell me a little bit about how that was manifested.
Well, you know, I think great teams, they have a way of hiding any deficiencies they might have with one another. And that's why they're teams. And, you know, there are certain teams I watch play in the NBA that I've always had such admiration for because they did play as teams. And, you know, the old Celtics, the Knicks in yesteryear, Phil Jackson's teams in both particularly in Chicago and I think in Los Angeles, the Detroit teams, some really all completely different kind of teams. And when you get them together, they look like they're so coordinated. And obviously talent is really, really crucial. If you don't have talent, I don't care who you are, I don't care what coach you are, you can't win. But also it takes the right coach to coach those teams. And I know that in watching those kind of teams, you always have special players on your team. And for some of them are leaders, some of them are quiet, some of them are out front, some of them will jump on players, and there's leaders of all kinds, and those kind of players usually step to the forefront when you have an opportunity to win, and also they build tremendous team pride among the players who all they're trying to do is to win and win at the highest level. And we were so fortunate in Los Angeles to have a number of those players, and more importantly, win a lot of championships.
You know, when you take a look at that championship run that the Lakers had, and you think about the rivalry, certainly with the Boston Celtics during that period of time, what is it that sticks in your mind about that period of time of the Lakers?
Well, probably the most disappointing period of my life, and something that still haunts me today, and I have people constantly ask me, you know, why? Well, because you want to achieve something that most people don't have a chance to achieve, and particularly against players and teams of that caliber. But, you know, I always kid, I hate green. But I have enormous respect for all those Celtics teams. They were great guys. I didn't like them when I played against them, but after the game was over, that was it. And they were tremendous teams, had great pride, tremendous defensive teams, and they look like they never skipped a beat because of one fella in there, in particular, Bill Russell. He's obviously the greatest winner we've ever seen as a player. And, you know, even though he, once he left Boston, he didn't have the same success, he did win a championship as a coach.
One thing, too, Jerry, that I have observed, and I believe, and I'm not quite sure when it happened in professional basketball, but it went from being the Lakers against the Celtics to being a player against another great player, so that the individualism came in. Can you finger point when that might have happened in professional basketball?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly when, but certainly when they started marketing the league the way they do now, you know, they're picking the best, the most exciting players, the players that bring something a little bit different to the table besides playing the game at a higher level. I think then the emphasis was on team, even though you was on any team, you're going to have people that are truly great at what they do. And today, you know, we don't talk about the team so much. We say we would focus on that a little bit more. We really talk about the players. And ultimately, the players are going to decide the outcome of the game. But teams are going to beat individuals. That's always going to happen.
We only have a couple minutes left. You're now an advisor in an important part of the Golden State Warriors management and ownership group. What is it that appealed to you about this type of challenge?
I've had an opportunity to work in professional basketball for a long time, and I do believe in ownership a lot. I think ownership brings something different to the table. I think they bring enthusiasm. They bring things that that other owners don't have. And I worked for Jerry Buss for so many years, and I have enormous respect for him, and I'll be forever grateful for him giving me an opportunity to work in the front office. And I worked for Mike Heisley in Memphis. I wanted to work with the worst team in the league that had never accomplished anything and in a small market. And that was an incredible experience for me. I loved my first 4 years down there. With four of the best years I've ever had in my life and probably the greatest test for me as a person, because there was so much that needed to be done. And then with the Warriors, I'm convinced that both Joe and Peter are the people that are going to put this team at a different level. It's close to being good. There's some things that they're going to have to do, and they're well aware of them. And I met with them for about 6 weeks before I decided to do it, because I wanted to make sure that this is something I really wanted to do. And at the end of the day, the thing that had brought me the most joy but also the most pain is basketball, and I watch it. I watch every game. I'm a kind of a basketball junkie, if I may be, and it's just something that I've always loved to do. It's a game that's it's been my life, and I don't think it'll ever go away. But just being involved with people with enthusiasm and who want to do something special, particularly for the Warrior fans, which have been so good to them over the years, I think their desire and my desire to go into an arena and see everyone that has a Golden State uniform instead of a Laker uniform, a Celtic uniform, a Miami uniform. We're always going to have people admire these other types of players, but at the end of the day, the Warriors deserve better, and I think they will have a lot better with them with them being the owners.
We got about 90 seconds left. What do you want people to take away from your book, West by West?
Well, I would hope that there's a lot of people that have shared a lot of things in their lives, and again, I had the platform to talk about my life, and doesn't always feel good to talk about your life, and particularly for me to talk about myself, because I have been living behind a facade. The one thing I would hope that they would know is that, particularly for people who've been through it before and have had made successes out of their lives, I had a skill. Some people have different kind of skills, but if you really have a fierce desire, and if you have a very imaginative mind, and if you set goals for yourself, you can accomplish things that no one dreamed possible. People used to say, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do that. I absolutely came defiant. Yes, I can. And I think we need people like that to be encouraged. We need people to pat somebody on the back when they're down. We need people to care about kids instead of talking about them. We talk about them all the time. Our future is tomorrow. Do something about it. Say hello to a kid. Do something good for a kid that maybe doesn't have the best life, and you might get something very special out of it.
Are you happy with the way the book came out, Jerry?
Well, I am. I am happy with the way it came out. There, you know, there's one thing in there I think is really kind of interesting. You know, I think everyone looks at talking about my relationship with Phil Jackson. I didn't have a relationship with him. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. But he did exactly what he was supposed to do in Los Angeles. I've been in locker rooms where players absolutely hated each other, and still you find a way to get through those things. But you know, it wasn't certainly meant to be a criticism of Phil in that way. I just didn't have a relationship with him.
Jerry, I want to thank you very much for your time. You've been very gracious. Congratulations on the book, and you're welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Take care.
Thank you, Ron. Great to talk to you.
Hall of Famer Jerry West with us. We continue on Sports Byline.